What is up, guys, and welcome back to episode 22 of the Green and Bold podcast. Happy to have you here, and it's an exciting time for us because we can finally take a look back at the Packers draft picks in hindsight, the guys they have for sure, and sort of dive in on them, give you our initial thoughts on the pick, what we think of the players and how they'll impact the Packers on the field, as well as share our grades for each draft pick and then see how we come out on the end. So it should be an exciting one, a quick one, shouldn't take too long. The unfortunate thing about now is that the Packers fans and especially Packers draftees is that the announcement of the draft or the excitement of being drafted has sort of been clouded by the fact that there's the Aaron Rodgers drama going on. We aren't going to talk about that too much. We will kick off the episode with our thoughts on that situation, but we aren't going to get hung up on it for too long, and then we're just going to dive right in on to the Packers selections and what we think of them. But we will be right back with episode 22 following this music break.
Stand graceful like a corpus at a guard, connected from the start by the meek and faithful that comprise our counterparts and set us
awake. Find your faith or supplicate. You got what you lack. A tenfold collapse.
All right, guys, welcome back. And just again, happy to have you here. Really excited to record episode 22. It's been a long time coming, and we can finally dive in on the Packers draft picks and deal with the painstaking weight of the excitement following the draft heading up to the full rest of the offseason before football actually kicks into action. So kind of sucks. And another thing that kind of sucks is dealing with the NFL media situation surrounding Rodgers and the Packers. I don't want to get hung up on it too long, but I'll just ask you right now, what are your thoughts on the situation currently?
My thoughts, like, it depends, how much truth is behind some. I mean, dude, there's a lot of suspect reports where it's like, there's a chance it might be true, but there's a chance that they're not true. I mean, there's going to be some people that really look embarrassing in this situation, especially with just some of how detailed some of the reports have gone. I mean, it looks like things that, there's some wild rumors that it's like, if those are true, I mean, I guess is what it is. But overall, like, I just want it to be kind of in the rear view. Maybe he's sticking around. Maybe he is really this pissed off and wants to get out. Maybe they do actually get some sort of deal done, whatever it is, however long it is. They just come to an agreement that works for both parties. But, like, whatever it is, it's like I really just kind of want them to get on with it, that might sound. Like, it's like, dude, if he is really this mad, wants to get out, like, then, I've kind of viewed 2021 as kind of that all or nothing type of year. I think this is kind of like a all chips on the table type of year anyway, and it's like, well, I guess if suddenly Aaron Rodgers wants out, then I guess time to look forward to the future. But at the same time, I love Aaron Rodgers like most Packer fans do. It would suck if it really ends like this overall. And there's definitely some things where if some of his gripes that have been portrayed in the media, like the Kumerow thing is the popular one to make fun of, but some of the rumored gripes, it's kind of like, I don't agree with all of them, I guess, if you will. It just sucks, kind of the way it could end. But no, hopefully, it's like, however it ends, hopefully it ends civilly, whether that's him being back starting this fall, which is, I think, what's gonna end up happening. Maybe he'll be, I don't know. You can tell, given the fact that they've flown all three before Murphy Gutekunst out to California. I mean, there's definitely some uneasiness in the relationship. So it's like, it's just kind of wondering, like, is it as bad as rumored? And if so, then, like, can we just kind of get it over and done with? And if not, you know, then, like, some people are really going to look really, really stupid.
Well, I kind of think people are probably going to look really, really stupid either way, because at this point, there are people who have gone out and said, you know, like you said, the differing reports that people are saying he's not coming back. People are saying he is coming back. So there's going to be some people looking pretty embarrassed on both sides of it, I think. But I pretty much agree. If he really is this upset and really doesn't want to be back, it's only going to hurt the team. And like you said, this is an all-in year. You can't go all in if Aaron Rodgers himself isn't all in. So in the long run, if that's going to hurt the team, then yeah, I would prefer it's just done and over with and we can put it behind us. But also, if the decision is to bring him back and have him be our quarterback, that's obviously the ideal situation. I would prefer Aaron Rodgers as the Green Bay Packers quarterback for the, you know, heading forward in the future. And if they were to strike a deal, then that would also put it behind us. And honestly, that's all I'm looking for out of this situation, is basically for it to be done and over with. In my opinion, it's win-win for Packer fans, because you're either going to end up with Rodgers as your quarterback, or you're going to end up with an absolute haul in draft picks that you're going to be able to surround around Jordan Love. That pretty much sums up my thoughts on the situation. I haven't dove too deep. You know, I don't believe too much of the media reports, because I just feel like Rodgers has never, you know, been one to keep quiet himself. He's thrown shots at the Packers recently about their draft picks, about kicking the field goal against the Buccaneers, doing that in Jeopardy and everything. And so if he has no problem throwing that kind of shade, I just don't understand why Rodgers wouldn't come out and, you know, clear this stuff up himself. If he really is up to that upset, why wouldn't he say it? And then the other thing is that, like, the report today, this just adds to, like, the questionable media reports that have came out that I don't really understand, was that supposedly Rodgers, before last season, at the beginning of last season, started telling the Packers pending free agents that he wasn't coming back. And if that's true, then that means that Mercedes Lewis, you know, a 37, 38-year-old veteran tight end, decided to come back and sign for 2 years. That seems far-fetched, especially knowing Mercedes and Aaron have such a good relationship. Seems far-fetched that Mercedes would sign that contract, come back and play for the Packers, knowing Rodgers wasn't going to be there. And then also Rodgers' best friend on the team and left tackle David Bakhtiari signed a massive extension, making him one of the top-paid left tackles in the league. I have a hard time seeing Bakhtiari feeling a desire to come back and play that position if Rodgers is gone. And then obviously the Aaron Jones re-signing, he comes back and signs the big four-year deal. Again, would be surprising if they thought that either they, you know, they made that decision on their own and decided they didn't really care about playing with Rodgers and they were fine with playing with Love, or that report's just simply false and Rodgers wasn't telling pending free agents that he was not going to be back this year. But I think that's enough on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Like I said, don't want to get hung up on it too much, but did want to share our thoughts. Sure, there will be plenty of time to speak of it in the future, but
yeah, I'm guessing it'll still be a hot topic.
Oh yeah, at least two weeks from now. You know, things are bad now. Wait till June 1st when Rodgers captures.
I imagine some of the rumors that are going to be thrown out with different teams and such. I mean, it'll be. Yeah, it'll definitely be a festival.
When that cap hit drops down to 17, I can guarantee you it's going to be pretty crazy. There's going to be plenty of action going on then. But again, hopefully it just comes to an end. And either way, we reach the end of this chapter and can move on. But let's fast forward and jump into round one of the NFL draft. Now, the Packers didn't pick until pick 29. I know they were heavy favorites to either move up or move down. I sort of thought that kind of would depend on how the wide receiver class went, as well as maybe some of the offensive tackles that came off the board there. We eventually saw the Packers stay pat. They take their pick at pick 29 and said that they got their guy in the cornerback Eric Stokes out of Georgia. Now, initially, I'll give you my thoughts on Eric Stokes. You're not going to like it, but he really does seem like a more athletic Kevin King to me. And I do think that Kevin King would benefit from being slightly more athletic. Now, he is a fast corner with good length, But Eric Stokes is even faster, ran a 4.29 at his pro day. He's slightly over 6 foot. He's got long arms and big hands, so he definitely fits that sort of type you want out of a corner. He's a lengthy guy with speed and can get up in some guys' faces. I believe in the SEC, that's you're talking about an SEC guy, so he's facing the top wide receiver talent in the country coming out of college and has done so his whole career. That's what I'm most excited about, is that's a guy who's been shutting down, you know, top talent throughout his career, and now he gets to come into the NFL and do so. Now, the things that stand out most to me about him are the fact that he's the most improved player on the team as a redshirt freshman. So I think that's a really important characteristic, because he came in, he showed up ready to work, and that work clearly paid off as he was voted most improved. If he could have another most improved situation when he joins the Packers this year for his rookie season, I think that could be really big. And on top of that, he was, I believe, second in the SEC. So this is where I was going with the talent, you know, facing the talent. Second in the SEC in completion percentage allowed in press coverage. So he's a guy that can play press coverage. And then probably the most important part of this, and the reason why the Packers took Stokes and why he was their guy, is the Packers are headed a new direction on defense with defensive coordinator Joe Barry. They've got, and there's this talk of this, you know, star position or a heavy use of the nickel formation, which would obviously involve three corners on the field. And right now, as it stands, at least prior to the Stokes pick, I didn't really feel like the Packers had three corners they could confidently stick out there on a majority of their defensive snaps. It would have been, you know, Alexander, Kevin King, and probably Chandon Sullivan. And I'm not so sure that that's kind of the group we've been going with the last couple of years. It hasn't really panned out the way we hoped it would with King and Sullivan. I think that the Packers have a much better secondary with Alexander, King, and Stokes battling King for that second spot or third spot, whichever it may be. And some competition could be good for Kevin King as well. So you never know what that will produce from him there. I will tell you my one biggest complaint with taking Stokes at this pick was I did think that Stokes would have been available a little bit longer in the second round. I don't think it would have been very long. I think after, you know, pick 29, I think the latest Stokes would have been on the board was probably around pick 40. We saw some corners go on a run. You know, Stokes' teammate was picked really early in the second round. So there's no guarantee that Stokes would have been there. And then also the fact that wide receiver Elijah Moore was on the board at this time, and the Packers had the chance to get him. And, you know, there was a lot of media hype, and a lot of people led me to believe that the Packers truly really were interested in Elijah Moore. And they might have been interested in him, but obviously not that interested in him if they were willing to take Stokes at 29. And then I do understand, you know, they maybe could have traded back to get Stokes later, but at the end of the day, you don't know how far they could have traded back. And if there was only a few picks, then it's not even really worth trading back, in my opinion. But I thought that the Packers filled a need, an instant need, and they got a guy who's definitely going to have an early impact this season in 2021. I think we'll see a lot of Stokes on the field. So very different from last year, where the Packers have a first-round pick go inactive all season long. I think Stokes is going to play a good majority of snaps this season, at least a solid chunk of it. And I gave that pick a B just because, again, it's a guy who fills an immediate need, probably was the biggest need on the team at corner. And then it's a guy who's definitely going to have an immediate impact and has that crazy athletic ability. So I'm looking forward to using him on Madden.
I gave that pick a B as well, actually, just because, like you said, it's a player that can immediately come in and compete for a starting job. And at the very least, I mean, it gets Kevin King playing a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, he fits that kind of long and rangy mold. And he also can do some things on special teams. I mean, he might be able to step in and compete for returning some punts or some kicks. They talked about how he did a little bit of it all at Georgia, but I think he'll be someone that will be able to excel in both man and zone coverage, especially for Joe Barry. I mean, I know there's some people that anticipate it'll be a lot of zone coverage in Joe Barry's system. And, you know, given the fact that he's a good press corner, I mean, I think that'll make him versatile. And I know in his interview post-draft, he talked about how, you know, he'll play wherever he can find a role. So, you know, he's someone that, you know, I definitely can see being, and it is just kind of the way it's all trending too at the moment is, you know, there will be five DBs on the field, a large majority of the defensive snaps. So I definitely think we'll see him on the field. I mean, really between him, Kevin King, and Chandon Sullivan in those three spots, I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition for some playing time for 2021. Yeah, so, I mean, that'll be nice to see. Raven Green's unfortunately out of the mix today, signed with Tampa, but no, I think it's a good pick.
Of course he's signed with Tampa. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I'm pretty certain it was Tampa.
Well, break news to me, at least, on this one.
Yeah. Jesus. The thing about, I like the pick as far as, like, at 29, it was one of those ones where I was like, huh, like, okay, you know, I was like, I don't hate it. That was my initial reaction. And then I looked into more and it was like, you know, if they were convinced, they said, hey, this guy's an athletic beast, has some raw talent, and they feel like they can mold him into a real good corner. I mean, the potential's definitely there. I think he had four picks this last season. So, I mean, the guy's got some just raw athletic ability, some just crazy good closing speed. We saw him a couple clips coming off the edge too, man. Guy can be a little bit scary. Yeah, so
I like those hits.
They definitely could have got him later, and for that reason, I mean, that's the reason I'd go a B. But you know what? They were convinced, and that, you know, at the end of the day, you got to give up some more pick, or else you can trade back, I guess. That's probably more what they would have been likely to do early second round. But you know, they might have been convinced, just kind of thought they didn't want to wait around. And I really liked Elijah Moore a lot too, so I was really kind of like, dang, I would have liked to see them pick Elijah Moore. And I do think the Minnesota receiver, I'm now blanking on the name for a second, but no, I think he would have been I think he would have been the pick at 29. Like, I do buy into that interest. Like, I think that hype
Bateman
was real.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman.
Yep. Rashad Bateman, yeah. There we go. I was blanking on the name for a second. But I do think that interest was real. I think that hype was real. But, you know, they missed out on him. I think the Elijah Moore interest might have been real. But, yeah, I guess, you know, Elijah Stokes is just who they had on the board. And I guess they didn't want to wait, and I can live with it. But for that reason, I also give it a B.
I also think that you know, he's going to come in and be hungry. Like you said, he creates that competition, and you'll see that out of, like, if he was the most improved player his freshman year at Georgia, you'd like to see him kind of be, you know, a most improved player again. And then I'd also like to say, I think people would be super ecstatic about this pick had it not been for the Aaron Rodgers drama and stuff like that. I mean, the idea of putting a top SEC guy opposite of Jaire Alexander and, you know, having a lockdown defense with Savage and Amos behind him is really exciting to me. As well as, like you said, Stokes' ability to blitz off the edge. He can definitely, you know, get to the quarterback if they decide to throw in some cornerback blitzes there. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on was, you said there's an expectation that there will be a lot of zone defense, and I do think that's true. However, Joe Barry comes from that system. We saw with the Rams with Jalen Ramsey, where you could leave Jalen manned up on one side or with one guy and then run zone with the entire rest of your defense. That could certainly be a possibility with the Packers here, something you could look at doing with Jaire Alexander with his man coverage ability. So you could certainly look at running a similar style of defense there, but we'll wait and see what they do. However, at the end of the day, you know, B's from both of us. I think it's a solid first round pick, and I definitely think it was a damper was put on it due to the Aaron Rodgers, you know, drama. But then let's move forward to the next day. We've got the round two draft picks, and unfortunately, it seemed like the Packers just had to wait forever to make that draft pick. You know, you start at pick 33 or 34, whatever it is, and then you look at it and it's like, damn, the Packers aren't on the clock until pick 62, and a lot of guys are about to drop off this board right here. And I thought there were a ton of really exciting names left on that board, but then you drop all the way down to, you finally get there at pick 62, and the Packers go with a center. And you know, another pick that was kind of blindsided some Packer fans. I do think that it hurt because they could see that Creed Humphrey and Quinn Meinerz, two really powerful centers, were still on the board at that spot. And then the Packers take Josh Myers, a center who a lot of people had ranked, you know, a decent amount lower than Humphrey or Meinerz. And, you know, that's all down to speculation and opinion at that point, but the fact of the matter is those guys were on the board, and you have to look at that. However, Gutekunst made it clear in his press conference following the draft that he wants to build a big, intimidating, and physical offensive line, and that is clear when you look at the size of these draft picks. I mean, in Josh Myers, you're talking about the guy who was snapping the ball to Justin Fields out of Ohio State. You've got a 6'5", 312-pound center, and that's just absolutely unheard of. That is quite literally an offensive tackle playing center. And he also has the ability to switch out and play guard, too. So he's got that versatility that the Packers look for in their offensive line. Now, like I said, I do think the one knock you have on him is that Humphrey and Meinerz were still available at that spot. And also, a lot of people didn't really think that the Packers needed to make this pick there, or if they did, it should have been one of those two. However, with the loss of Corey Linsley and the loss of Lane Taylor, I feel like the loss of Lane Taylor has been overlooked this season, by the way, because when I was mentioning that O-line was a big need during this draft, a lot of people were disregarding it, like acting like it wasn't a big need, and I was like, listen, we just lost Linsley and Lane Taylor. We're coming back. That's two guys who have started a majority of our games on our offensive line the last couple of years. Those are two holes we're going to have to fill. And they definitely did that by picking up Josh Myers. You get a guy who's definitely going to be Corey Lindsley's replacement. And I know there was speculation because he can play guard. If you listen to Gutekunst's answer about him playing other positions in the post-draft conference, you hear him say, it would be really nice to plug Myers in at center and just sort of leave, let Jenkins be the guy to move around, or leave Jenkins where he is and plug those guys in around him. So as long as you have that solid guy at center you can rely on and plug the guys in around him, that would be really nice. So I do think that's the plan, to leave him in there at center. And then he was a top 5 guard recruit in the country coming out of high school. So definitely a highly touted recruit on the offensive line. And then, you know, goes on to be a part of one of the best college football teams at Ohio State. And just his size and raw power is what's most exciting about him. However, I do think there were better options available at the time, and I gave that pick a C+ for that reason.
Okay, so I on the other hand, that pick, I was gonna give an A just because I instantly fell in love with it. I think he does have the ability to play a few other spots, and Landon Dickerson was drafted a little bit ahead of time. Creed Humphrey was still on the board, so that one, yeah, you can definitely make that argument. But I just thought this big mauler from Ohio State, I think he has the ability to be Elgton Jenkins. Part two, as far as that level of impact on the offensive line.
I do think he's a day one starter, just to be clear.
I think he's definitely going to be the center. You know, if need be, and you need to plug him in at left guard or right guard. I mean, I guess we don't know how the offensive line rotation is going to shake out. You know, and the unfortunate part is you need an O-line injury, essentially, to figure that out, or I guess preseason, hoping, you know, we have one and everything, that will be maybe an indication to see how it shakes out. But he'll definitely, I think, come in, start right away. And like there were a couple other O-linemen, and you know, I knew Meinerz, like that was cool, like that would have been an awesome story too. So like I was definitely sitting there thinking like, oh man, and I think he would have been the highest drafted D3 prospect or O-lineman ever. But Yeah, I'm not sure if it was lineman or guard, but yeah, it would have been a lot of fun. But I thought this pick was just I thought it was a great replacement to Corey Linsley. It is funny that it's another center out of Ohio State, but you know, the people say don't scout the helmet. There's a good reasoning behind that, but at times, like, there's certain like pedigrees that are just pedigrees for a reason. Doesn't mean 100% of them hit, but a little more of them hit than usual. Like, yeah. Your Notre Dame O linemen, other certain schools.
Well, it takes a lot to become a first team all yeah. Big Ten linemen, especially in the Big Ten where you're talking about the conference that's known for its linemen mm-hmm. on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So he's definitely blocked some powerful guys there. And,
I think has translated well. Like, some of those real good early round, you know, it's just one of those picks that's easy to get excited about once you look into it, a little bit. So I gave that one an A just for the fact I think this guy can come in and make an instant impact.
Yeah, especially the Packers organization, which has been known for sort of successfully drafting offensive linemen. That makes sense. It's easy to see why he could continue his success coming from Justin Fields to Aaron Rodgers. So definitely could see that. And then the only other slightly disappointing thing about it, I guess, is we do still, you know, me and you especially have been big on the John Runyon and the Jake Hansen picks of last season. Now, I do think Runyon is still absolutely in the running to make a run at the starting offensive line. However, I think they added a lot of competition to that offensive line room, and so he's going to have to work for that job, which should be a good thing. I don't know what it means for Jake Hansen, though, because it really looks like not only did we bolster up competition, but it was also on the interior of the offensive line with the guards and the centers. So definitely don't know what it means for Hansen. He's probably got a long way to go if he wants to be playing games in 2021 for the Packers, but we'll just see how that one goes. In my opinion, though, let's jump into the next round, round three. Packers trade up. They get rid of one of their two fourth-round draft picks to trade up, and I was sitting there stunned. I couldn't believe we traded up, and I was dead set in my heart that there was no way we were going to take a wide receiver because there was no way the Packers were going to do what I wanted them to do. And the fact that Amari Rodgers was still on the board in the third round was slightly surprising to me. I thought this was a second-round wide receiver who could possibly sneak into the first round when you look at his work ethic and his talent ability. And then we were able to move up in the third round and get him and essentially not really give up that much because you just gave up the one fourth-round pick, really. So nothing too bad there. But in Amari Rodgers, you get a really, really special guy, I think, because it does hurt because you had the chance at more earlier on, but to be able to get a guy like this in the third round, I just see that as an absolute win. And then the interesting thing about him is his history with Randall Cobb. Rodgers' father was coaching Cobb while he was at Kentucky, and I guess Rodgers and Cobb spent a lot of time around each other. Randall had a lot of nice things to say about Amari and his work ethic and what he can do for a team. And also, when you look at him, there are definitely similarities. I mean, Amari Rodgers packs 212 pounds into a, you know, slightly under 5'10 body. So he's quite a stocky guy out at wide receiver, which can help him when he has the ball in his hand because he's a very dynamic guy who can break tackles. And he also has the physicality of a ball carrier if you get the ball into his hands outside. So then the other thing on top of that is he has incredible ability in the slot, which is something the Packers have been looking for pretty much since they let Randall Cobb go, or perhaps even before that, when Randall Cobb sort of started to decline for the Packers. So finally get a slot wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers gets his receiver. It's crazy that it's an A Rodgers for A Rodgers, but I love it. I really hope that he does get to play and catch passes from Aaron, but if he has to build around Jordan Love, then that's also exciting too, because you're talking about a young, talented wide receiver, you know, establishing chemistry and hopefully building towards a career around our young first-round quarterback. So definitely exciting there. And then the other thing that I think should be noted, and I haven't heard too much talk about it, but Amari Rodgers has a ton of punt return experience for Clemson and was actually a two-time honorable mention all ACC all-purpose player for being a receiver and punt returner. I think that's notable because the Packers definitely need help in the punt return game, and if Rodgers does have to get stuck back there doing that, that's an exciting guy with the ball in his hands, especially when he's in space. And then we really saw him kind of take over in his last season at Clemson when Justin Ross was out, and he went for 77 receptions and 1,020 yards and was a first-team all-ACC wide receiver. So now you're talking the Packers in their first three picks have came out with, you know, a top guy out of a second-team all-SEC corner and then a first-team all-Big Ten lineman. And now with the third-round pick, you're coming out with a first-team all-ACC wide receiver. And in my opinion, that's three guys. Again, another immediate impact guy. I would imagine Rodgers is getting a lot of playing time in the slot early on this season and probably, you know, is getting plenty of snaps and a good number of snaps week one. So again, another guy who has an immediate impact, and I'm really excited about his talent, his ability, the history with Randall Cobb and his future and what Matt LaFleur would be, you know, a creative coach like that can do with a guy like Rodgers. So I gave this pick an A- just because I really felt like they didn't give too much up to move up. They finally got a wide receiver, which should slightly help to make Aaron more happy. And just a really dynamic guy for this offense and on the punt return. So really hard to knock this pick in anyway.
Yeah, I gave this pick up an A just because it was nice to see Gutekunst get aggressive and just go up and get, you know, a playmaker that the Packers have been looking for really since the last time Randall Cobb was really doing that for the Packers, which, you know, it's been a few years. So, I mean, that was just really refreshing to see the Packers trade up and then go up and get someone with that sort of dynamic ability. And, you know, Tyler Ervin and Tavon Austin, they had their moments, not necessarily Tavon Austin as much, but with the punt return game making it a lot better, were fun pieces, but never quite amounted to what we had hoped as fans, and I think this guy is that, but then some. I mean, I think he has the potential to already come in and do more than the players that we've put in those sort of roles. Like, I think, you know, we plugged in Tyler Ervin and we're really hoping and hopeful for him. And
well, he did technically save the return game. He did. Oh, he did take us out of like the historically
negative
bad
yards.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I liked Swerve. I liked the Tavon Austin idea. I was all in. But you know, this guy, I think, has is better than, at this point, both of those guys. And
yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think it's just a big upgrade there. I think it's an aggressive move. It is really cool that, like, Amari Rodgers wanted to come to Green Bay in large part to play with Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, I'm with you. I hope it happens.
Also,
you know,
how cool is it that he called the shot, too, when they asked him exactly where he wanted to land, and he said the Packers in the second or third round. It ends up being the third round, but that's pretty cool. You know, another thing, I don't know if you saw Stokes. Sorry, this just reminded me, but Stokes posted a picture of him playing youth ball, and he was on the Packers in youth ball, and then, you know, comes to the NFL, his first team was on the Packers.
Green and yellow jersey.
Cool as hell.
It was cool.
So definitely, just to clear that up, though, I did give that the A minus only because the Elijah Moore was on the board earlier. And so I thought that if wide receiver was a need and we really wanted him, and so that's where I was hurt initially after the first two picks. I was hurt because I was like, man, we had Elijah Moore. But then to get Amari Rodgers in the third round, it really eased the pain quite a bit because I thought we got a very talented wide receiver in the third round. It still hurt knowing we could have had Elijah Moore. And if we wanted a wide receiver that bad, I do think Moore was the better prospect and more NFL ready right now. But still very excited, still an A-.
Yeah, so I mean, I gave that one an A just because, you know, I think he's another guy that can instantly come in and just, you know, give the Packers something they haven't had in a while. I mean, I think Myers can step into a role and immediately be a starter. I think this guy, you know, he can be, you know, just something that we've wanted to fill that void.
Wasn't it Cobb
with
who returned
a number
kick
of
for
guys,
touchdown?
Even like EQ St. Brown, they've wanted to try and fill it with, and it hasn't worked out. Oh, yeah. You know, it's just a variety of people have come in and tried to fill that role, I think this is a player that truthfully can be right off the bat more dynamic than any of those guys. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that pick.
Wasn't
and
it
showed
Cobb,
true aggression that we've been asking for.
His rookie season, Cobb, his rookie season ran, I think it was like his first game or something like that. Cobb returned a touchdown out of the kick return game or the punt return game. That would definitely be, you know, super exciting if Amari was able to, you know, come in and have an impact like that, especially on special teams in his rookie season. So if he can do anything like what Randall Cobb did, then that pick will be more than worth it. However, let's jump into the next pick, which we sort of dive into, again, offensive line depth. You're talking about, again, another, we said earlier how they wanted to build a physical, sizable, intimidating line. They do that again by drafting Royce Newman, the guard out of Mississippi at 6'5", 310 pounds. This is a guy who fits the current Packers sort of pedigree or prototype, you know, whatever you want to call it. And the fact that he is incredibly versatile and incredibly athletic for his size. He can play pretty much all five positions on the line. We saw him do that in college. I think he played four of the five in college. And, you know, just obviously that's going to instantly remind you of Elgton Jenkins, who we've already seen play, I believe, all five positions in the NFL. And he's done so at, you know, an all-pro level at all those positions. So just a solid guy you can plug in everywhere. And then Royce Newman is not only going to be able to sort of learn from Elgton Jenkins and how he's handled that as a pro, but is going to develop in one of the best offensive line rooms in the NFL. I think this is another pick that adds depth, which was needed on the offensive line. I stressed that earlier. However, I do think that there were probably maybe some more important needs. If you look at interior D-line, inside linebacker, I thought we could have gone a few different directions with this fourth-round pick. I don't think it was a miss to take Newman, though. I do think he's a guy that fits in with the Packers well, and it'll be a blessing to have him if someone does go on down on our line anywhere, and the fact that you can plug him in for any of those guys, I think that's a very important piece for depth. So I gave that pick a B- because of that.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give this pick a B just because, you know, I do like that in two straight drafts, it's been clear where Gutekunst is headed as far as the O-line. Just really wanted to make sure that I think a solid foundation is always there and just never really wanting to run thin on bodies that can play. I mean, he drafted three offensive linemen in 2020, three offensive linemen just last week. So, you know, I mean, you're hoping at least a few of those can shake out. And things are planning for. I mean, Lucas Patrick, I'm not quite 100% sure when his contract runs out, but we know he's had some struggles, but they lost Corey Lindsley, Corey Lindsley, Rick Wagner,
Lane Taylor.
And it's been, you know, so it's kind of, there's going to be some maybe spots up for grabs this season. I think that's pretty safe to say. And I think you just really want
to
have
depth, by the way,
because
he's a free agent after this season. Lucas Patrick.
Okay, that's right. I thought it was after this season, but I didn't know if he had 2 years or this year or next on his deal. But yeah, you definitely got to prepare for. The Packers have. I mean, they had two players at different opposite ends of the season, but one that might go into the season tear their ACLs. Lane Taylor, David Bakhtiari, and I think the Packers have, you know, really been able to be a plug-and-play line, and I think that's something they want to continue playing. So between getting six offensive linemen, and we'll get to, I guess, the last one, which is super cool story. Probably even rivals Amari Rodgers' story. But anyways, Packers getting six offensive linemen in 2 years. I mean, I like it for the fact that I can understand that, like, the Packers have been built on having a great offensive line foundation.
Yeah. And I was going to say, nothing says Packer football like drafting six guys in 2 years. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think getting someone that can play a variety of spots on the O-line, I like that pick. I like that value at that. And I really – Love that motive by Gutekunst here. If he drafts three next year, then we know that some of those linemen kind of suck. But no, he's I liked it, so I'm going to give that one a B.
Yeah, it is a solid pick, and again, it just fits right into the Packers' physical narrative. And I do think that having those big physical guys will help come winter time. And then when you put A.J. Dillon behind them guys, there are going to be some defenses that are going to be dealing with some punishment, especially in the winter months in Lambeau. So that's an exciting thing. But then move on to the next round, round five. This is where the Packers finally jump back to the defensive side. After taking a defensive player with the first pick, they went offense, offense, offense with the next three. So we see and this is another pick that I thought filled a need, at least. A very important need. The Packers' run defense has been absolutely gashed by everyone and their grandmother over the last couple of years. You could probably go ask my grandma what she thinks of the run defense, and she would have some words that would have to be edited off of here for you. But they picked up Tadarius Slayton, defensive tackle out of Florida. Huge body on the inside at 6'4", 330 pounds. And we're talking, this isn't a slow 330 pounds. You can go watch the film on Slayton. This is 330 pounds that can get around and move himself. And I'm not calling him Kenny Clark or nothing, but his pass rushing ability is it's pretty impressive for an interior defensive line guy, especially to see a guy that big move as well as he does. I think his weight is really, you know, well distributed. He's not, you know, top heavy or bottom heavy. And I just think that this is an immediate fill for an immediate need on this Packers defense. They've really lacked that big body inside to go along with Kenny Clark over the last few years. I know we've seen Lancaster try and fail. We've seen Dean Lowry try and fail. And I honestly think that a front three of our defense of Kingsley Kiki, Kenny Clark, and Tadarius Slayton is a good start at finally being able to stop the run. And Slayton's really exciting because, like I said, he gets off blocks and he gets tackles for loss. He had 7.5 tackles for loss in his last two seasons. That's really impressive for a nose tackle type of guy. To go along with that, I mean, he's just a standout. He was an All-American coming out of high school. I think he complements Kenny Clark well. And to get a guy who could have an immediate impact in the fifth round, that's almost unheard of, unless you're talking about like a running back or a long snapper or something like that maybe. But to get a defensive tackle who I honestly think not only has upside but will come in and have an impact and does help fix some of the Packers run defense problems in the fifth round, that's solid. This was honestly one of the picks I've been most excited about in hindsight, and I gave that pick a B+.
All right, so that pick, I give that pick a B- just because, I really like the pick a lot too. I gave it a B- just because, you know, I would have liked to maybe see that position, which like you said, I really have the last two drafts said, you know, I'd like to see, and really even throughout the seasons, like when the Packers have talked about adding a guy, then they added Snacks Harrison. Didn't really see him much on the field other than like 12 snaps one game, but really talked about how I'd like a D lineman to take some of the load off of Kenny Clark and to like play alongside Kenny Clark too at times, but just another person to add into the mix. I think Kingsley Kiki is starting to really find his niche. He's kind of that more pass rusher type. I think, you know, that really kind of fits his role along that sort of interior D line. But then, yeah, I think they need someone that can act as sort of that good run stuffer. But then you mentioned, I mean, you don't necessarily sleep on his pass rushing ability either. But, you know, I looked at it as I think, you know, the Packers, it's the type of body they haven't had in a while. Like Montrevious Adams, I guess it's kind of the natural replacement for him. As Montrevious is in New England.
I think Slayton could come in on day one and have more impact than Montrevious Adams had.
That's what I'm saying.
Career.
Like, I think the low end, it's like, I guess if our choice at this point is, hey, taking this guy who could be pretty solid, and do as much as, and I guess I will say like the player comp, I'm saying, you know, I'm not, obviously, I just because someone might always accuse you. So just laying out there, I'm not saying he's as good, but player comp, when I looked at it, I was like, honestly, this is kind of, if it works out, like a Mike Daniels type of presence is what I equated it to as far as style and how I think he could fit in.
See, and the knock on Daniels always was his size and height. Slayton has that size. He's
I see the similar
style of play, absolutely, especially the physicality and violence, real violent guy inside. So I could see that for sure. But he just brings all those aspects and the size, which I think is exciting because we haven't had that big guy in the middle in, you know, quite some time.
Yeah, so I like the pick. I gave it a B- just because it was, you know, at the point in the draft, it's the fifth round, so maybe it's a really high value pick. But yeah, I would have liked to maybe see a D lineman addressed a couple rounds earlier. But so far, I've liked at this point. I like how the Packers draft has played out with this pick. I give it a B-.
Well, I like how it played out with their next pick, their next fifth round selection. Okay. They had two of them, and they picked up Shamar Jean Charles, the cornerback out of Appalachian State. And I know you're talking about like an FBS guy here, but a really exciting guy with a lot of upside. And also, we discussed it earlier with the Stokes pick. The Packers are going to be running this, you know, star or nickel defense quite a bit. They have a need for slot corners, and that's sort of where Jean Charles was able to specialize, was playing inside, playing that nickel spot. So he has a lot of experience playing nickel and could be a nice depth guy to have for when you have to rotate out whoever the number one nickel guy is. And if there is an injury, you've got a solid guy you can put in there. He's got athletic ability. He had 9 pass breakups and 13 starts in 2019. And then he led the FBS in 2020 with 16 pass breakups and was a first team All Sun Belt Conference corner. So, you know, to see that out of your fifth round pick, your second fifth round pick, he also, you know, fits the structure to fill the needs of the defense. And, you know, watching his tape, he's a really exciting guy and honestly plays with a lot of energy. I really like the energy he brings post play. Seems to be a very exciting guy. Just same with, you know, not play style, not in terms of ability, but his energy that he brought, at least in the film I saw, it really reminded me of Jair. And I like having guys like Jair because that excitement can really get a defense going and can really keep guys energized. And again, just another pick that just hit on all the importances for me. He's got the college accolades, he's got the college stats, but also he fits the defense and fills a need of nickel corner and gives us depth at corner. We haven't mentioned, I believe, outside of the Jair Alexander fifth-year option, the Packers had 0 corners under contract following this season. So, you know, now you get 2 of them who have solid upside for the future. I'd imagine they draft 1 or 2 more next year to, you know, sort of fill that problem. But I think that they nailed it with Stokes and Jean Charles, and I'm excited to see what they can do. I gave that pick a B.
All right, and then this is one I gave a C+ to this one, because right away, you know, I didn't really know a whole lot about it, and then, you know, I looked, the past breakups really helped improve that one.
Well, and it is for me.
So when I looked it up, but then, you know, like my first indications showed, you know, I wasn't sure if he'd be able to play, you know, necessarily if he'd be good enough to fit as kind of an outside cornerback for the Packers. So that's kind of where it came in to be in a C+. But the more, you know, I've thought about it, I think that he could maybe feel like that kind of where Raven Green sat maybe comes in, and if he could be that sort of quality player for the Packers, that would be awesome. But yeah, I mean, leading the nation in pass breakups, I like that, and then being able to, you know, play inside and still or play a large amount inside and then still earn all Sun Belt first team honors, I mean, you know, that's impressive as well. So no, I think he does check a lot of boxes. I gave this one C+, but like you said, the contracts thing and the Packers needing some yeah, they need some guys. So they got two DBs in this draft, two corners essentially. One that really might, you know, we look at this, I guess two that you could see probably being pretty nasty if they are inside. I mean, they would have the potential to be some pretty nasty inside defensive backs or inside corners, slot corners. And yeah, I think this one, I'm looking forward to seeing how this one checks out as well. So gave this one a C+.
Then you jump into the sixth round, and this was the, you know, crazy story. Most unique situation I've heard about coming from an NFL draft. But the Packers go for another depth/competition guy in Cole Van Lannen, the offensive lineman out of Wisconsin. And you know the Wisconsin fans are going to love that. Every year people are mocking the Packers to pick, you know, their favorite Badger players. And I'll be honest with you, I did have, you might remember, I did mock us taking Rashad Wild Goose. You know, a little disclaimer there. With you doing the draft first, I did draft second. And then sort of knowing who you took, I didn't really want to just do the same exact mock draft as you. So I did go with some sort of alternate choices with my picks. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Wild Goose in the third round wouldn't have been that terrible, especially because you saw we wound up drafting two corners anyways. So, and I really like what I saw out of Wild Goose as a Badgers fan and watching the Badgers play. Just, you know, it didn't happen, but we still end up getting a Badger, and again fits the trend of the offensive lineman that we have drafted so far. Can play guard and tackle, and he comes in at 6'4", 305 pounds, another huge body on the offensive line. And then like you said, probably the coolest thing about it is this is a kid that grew up and played high school football in Green Bay with, you know, you, so you go from playing high school in Green Bay, then you go down and play your college football for the Wisconsin Badgers. Then you go back home and you're probably spending the draft with your family in Green Bay. And all of a sudden you get a call and find out you get to stay in Green Bay and play for the Green Bay Packers, the team you've been watching your whole life. And, honestly, that's cool in itself. But what I was thinking, the coolest situation about it all, is everybody on an NFL roster is away from their family, at least for the most part, unless you're like a veteran guy and you've moved your family there because you plan on being there for a while, which is rare. Almost every guy's away from their family. Cole Van Lannen is going to be in a really unique position where he's home. And this guy's going to be home with his family. He's going to be around his friends and family all the time. And that's, I think that's a really comfortable position for a rookie to be in order to develop and progress. And that could put him at an advantage over some of the other guys. Now, I did knock this pick a little bit because it was the third offensive lineman we had taken. And even though I thought that offensive line depth was a need, I don't know that we needed three of them. And also, as I mentioned earlier, the John Runyon and the Jake Hansen, don't know what that means for them as we continue to add depth there. So, but like you said, we drafted three linemen. He is an exciting guy, though. Definitely talent. Another Big Ten lineman. He was a two-time first-team All-State guy coming out of high school. And then he earned first-team All-Big Ten for his play at left tackle, despite missing some games to start the season. So, you know, definitely a notable showing from his college and high school careers. And then the fact that he gets to play at home, I think that could benefit him. However, my knock was that he's the third offensive lineman we've drafted, and I gave that pick a C+ for that reason.
Yeah, so, you know, I gave that pick a B- actually, so sticking with that, with that, around that same realm for the last few picks. Just because he's another guy that, you know, kind of maybe is a selection that would have been there later. But overall, I mean, just another guy to fit what the Packers have been doing. A guy who has been, you know, all conference, like you mentioned, in the Big Ten, and someone who, you know, I think is going to come in and maybe naturally have some of that Green Bay Packer grit that kind of defines their brand as well as and defines their offensive line. So, you know, I mean, he's a player that I think, will he come in and compete for playing time anytime soon? Probably not, unless we hear, like, hey, he's impressing at camp. you know, hopefully, you know what, hopefully we can go to training camp for like a day this year, you know, and we can go see for ourselves. But it's just, it's a fun pick. I give it a B minus because, you know, it does still fit kind of that mold. It's just, it's not necessarily one of those highlighted offensive lineman Badger picks that you see every year, but, you know, it could be one of those maybe under the radar where it's like, you know, they're pretty highly touted each year, Badgers offensive linemen. I mean, some years they produce really high draft picks. And, you know, maybe he just kind of was one of the ones to fly under the radar. And, yeah, I like the Packers taking a sixth-round flyer on this guy. And, obviously, the story's awesome. So I give it a B-minus right here.
Yeah, hard to knock him, really, coming for in the sixth round. At the sixth round, you're pretty much just hoping to hit on any of these guys. And if it does pay off, even if he just ends up being a depth piece, that's sort of a hit for a later round guy. But again, I thought the Packers continued to kill it in the later rounds of their draft. We're coming in an hour here, so we'll try and keep these last two kind of short and sweet for you. But not to be overlooked is the linebacker out of Boston College in McDuffie. And I thought that Isaiah McDuffie was really – it's a really cool situation because the Packers drafted, you know, a Boston College guy last season out of it with A.J. Dillon. They had, you know, sort of some cool camaraderie going on online after the pick. Had some jokes about the Oklahoma drill and how they're going to play against each other in practice. I thought that was kind of cool to see. But just the fact that a guy like A.J. Dillon, you know, a physical running back, is excited about having a guy like that, I think that should stand out. He's definitely played linebacker in the cold quite a bit, being a Boston College guy, so he should fit in Green Bay just fine. And then, the other really exciting thing about him is he has the ability to rush the passer and get tackles for loss out of the linebacker position, and he's a tackle monster. And that makes me think back to Blake Martinez, who definitely always led the league in tackles, but it was usually 4 or 5 yards down the field. This guy... he had 107 tackles in 2020 and earned second team all ACC. And the exciting thing about him is he has 6.5 tackles for loss, including 3 sacks. And to see that from an inside linebacker type guy is something that I would think would add a dynamic to the Packers defense. And also they had that hole at inside linebacker that needed to be filled. I'm not sure that McDuffie necessarily steps in and plays early on at all, but they definitely have room for it, and I can guarantee he will at least compete for some playing time at that position with Chris Barnes and Kamal Martin ahead of him. So I'm excited about that guy. I thought he filled a need, and I'm really excited about the dynamic he has at inside linebacker. I gave that pick a B+.
Yeah, you know what, that pick, I also am going to keep it right there. I'm going to give this one a B just because this one, like you said, I mean, he could come in and compete because with A, we aren't sure, you know, their ability to stay healthy for a 16-game season yet, and... You know, they're both late-round picks themselves, but they both flashed really good potential. But there's definitely room in that linebacker group for another player that can play. And I think this adding to the mix was just a good value selection here for the Packers. And you look at his film. I mean, he's kind of doing, like, stunts around the edge. He's lining up and coming off the edge. I mean, this guy's kind of bringing the heat. And then he can go in and just kind of, you know, play in the box and stuff the runner at the line of scrimmage. So, like, you know, obviously what I've watched isn't in-depth scouting tape, but just kind of watching some of his characteristics, his physical characteristics, reading up on him. You know, they talk about how he plays with some of that high energy. And obviously these are guys who were higher draft picks and just really good. But you look at the team that... you know, a couple of the really good defenses in the last couple of years, the Rams, and then who came alive in the playoffs, and really spanked the Packers twice, the Buccaneers. I mean, just really good linebacker groups and guys who can kind of play all over. And I think this guy, I mean, has those same characteristics physically. Obviously not even close to that same level, but I mean, just talking about, right. He has some of those same characteristics of players that, like, you see draft scouts or draft experts pre-draft gushing over certain first-round players. You know what I mean? You know, it's like he shares some of those same physical traits that the linebackers people gush over have, but, you know, obviously didn't bring it quite to that level in his play. But he, like you said, he had 107 tackles. I mean, I was kind of wondering, you know, I was surprised he was there at this selection. So I think the Packers, to get a guy who can come in and compete, and, you know, the Packers are, I guess you got to keep taking swings at inside linebacker till you truly find yours. Maybe that is Chris Brown, Barnes and Kamal Martin. But right now, I mean, they don't have those spots solidified by any stretch. So
yeah, well, it's draft a UDFA and then two late round draft, mid to late round draft.
Yeah.
It's battling for the time. So hopefully they'll take a bigger swing. Hopefully these guys hit, but
I like the way McDuffie plays, man. I mean, I think he does kind of, he just, you know, he's kind of all over and like he really brings it. So, you know, I like the way he plays, and I like that he's kind of versatile, can bring it from a couple different angles.
Definitely athletic and quick too for the linebacker. And then I haven't watched all his pass coverage film, so don't get me wrong, but he did have an interception as well. So you like to see that, and that would be another aspect of defense that the Packers have not had out of an inside backer, is a guy who can fare well in coverage. So hopefully McDuffie is a difference maker there. But then in the seventh round, again, you know, the Packers make their last pick here, and I thought this is another solid pick. Many people had mocked the Packers drafting a running back for the simple fact that they needed a third running back. LaFleur has made it clear he likes having multiple running backs, but this was not only just to get us another running back. They get Kylin Hill, and this is a guy who can be plugged in as that third running back, but is also a bit of a gadget guy, has the ability to have an impact as a receiver out of the backfield, so he's a receiving threat. And then not only that, but he packs 215 pounds into his 5'10 body and still runs a 4.5 40, so he's pretty quick. Honestly, reminds me of Aaron Jones a little bit in that he doesn't necessarily have that breakaway speed. He's not going to be like flat out outrunning faster guys on the defense, but he does have the speed to create space, and it helps him with his true strength, which is his you know, his power running and his ability to break tackles. You watch this film, this is a hard guy to bring down. He breaks some crazy tackles. I promise you can watch his film. There are some plays that will be like, wow, I have no clue how he did that. So I think for a seventh-round guy, for the Packers to fill the need of, you know, adding depth to their running back position as well as just the need for that gadget guy in the offense, and, you know, he has the ability to do that and could do that as long as he develops throughout the offense. Again, you know, just reminds me of Jones, also with his size, that 5'10", 215. And I thought this was a solid seventh-round pick. It's not often that a seventh-round pick could even make the team, let alone have an impact. And I don't know that this guy will necessarily see that many snaps, but I do think that he adds depth, fills the need of that third running back, and could eventually see snaps as a gadget guy or as a receiving threat out of the backfield. And to get that out of a seventh-round pick, I just don't think that can be overlooked. So I gave that pick a B.
Yeah, I gave that pick an A just because of the fact that, you know, when you look at it, he had 2,500 yards in his, I think it was, I can't remember how many games it was, but I think it was over two seasons, 25. I mean, the guy was very productive in his time in Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think
State.
He rushed for like 1,300 yards last year or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was just super productive. And, yeah, so I gave that one an A just because right now, I mean, Dexter Williams is his competition essentially. So I think Right now, I got a lot more confidence in him to come in and hopefully take that third rushing spot than Dexter Williams. And yeah, I mean, I like his style enough, and I think he does. He packs a punch in his little frame. I mean, there's the video going out about him stiff arming some guy to the ground that's pretty vicious. But no, I think this guy's someone who can come in and compete for snaps at some point, and maybe, you know, come along as the season progresses, and maybe we'll get to see him come alive for some rushing attempts and maybe some receptions out of the backfield or something like that. But yeah, I think this was just a good value pick here for the Packers, and I gave this one an A to end the draft.
All right. Well,
also, I thought 256 was Mr. Irrelevant up until Saturday when I found out it wasn't, because it used to be, and then they must have extended it to 259 picks at some point.
It's the compensation picks that teams
get. Sucked.
So.
I was pumped. I was like, dude, the Packers legit have that pick.
I mean, yeah, and honestly, they might have got one of the better seventh-round picks out of their guy, though, so Mr. Irrelevant or not, hopefully he winds up being relevant in Green Bay.
But
with that, episode 22, once again, Tanner and Trenton have lied to you by telling you they've got a quick one for you and then rambling for over an hour. Hopefully you're here throughout it all and stuck around till the end. I got one last question for you. I want no explanation, no reasoning, nothing at all. Just a name. Who's your favorite pick for the Packers from this draft?
What I would have to go with is Myers.
I love it. Okay, well, Myers definitely wasn't my favorite pick. Amari Rodgers, but I think those are two guys we're definitely going to see having an impact in, you know, early on weeks. I would say assume week one, but we'll see how they develop throughout camp. At the end of the day, I think the Packers absolutely nailed this draft up and down. I think it's been overcast and overlooked due to the Aaron Rodgers drama. However, I think these are all really exciting guys. They hit a ton of needs. They hit a ton of depth and a ton of guys with really high upside. I think Goot nailed this draft, and I'm really excited to see what these guys can do. But with that, episode 22, as always,
go Pack, go.